When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. I'm Michael Appel, Managing Director and Head of Retail at the at Getzel Henrich & Associates. And I'm here with Greg Petro, CEO of Consumer Insight Platform, First Insight. I'm delighted to have Greg with us because Greg and I go back a ways from when I was CEO and Chairman at Route 21. And Greg's cutting-edge business and platform was really instrumental in helping us drive results in the turnaround of Route 21. And so I thought it would be great to sort of have an update. This is a lot of things going on in this arena. And today we're going to talk about a driving concept to conversion with voice of the customer, i.e., how do we get from product to the customer ringing the register? Are retailers really listening to their customers? Are they capturing the voice of the consumer insights, whether she's shopping in store, online, or on social media? Luckily, there are new digital tools to gather and apply these analytics. Greg, great to see you.
Great to see you too, Michael.
Greg, First Insight describes itself as a voice of customer retail decision platforms. Can you explain what that means and why it's more important than ever?
We think of our platform as a decision-making platform that assists in the process from concept to conversion. And when we speak about that, we mean helping organizations, retailers, brands, and manufacturers make decisions around what products to bring to market.
And, you know, it's sort of interesting to me because I think that even though your company has grown and voice of customer is sort of people pay a lot of lip service to it, do you think retailers are using voice of customer enough to buy the right product that consumers want?
Well, that's a great question.
I mean, it's a loaded question.
Obviously. It is a loaded question because, you know, it's funny because our platform has, as an example, has 16 solutions in the platform. And across that concept to conversion. And as I mentioned, everything from helping, as you said, product designers and merchants determine which products to bring to market that are going to be more financially, you know, additive or how to mitigate risks to some of those investments to pricing. What I found over the last 12 months in engaging our own customer base, which now represents 200, and with the acquisition of our new company, now 600 more, so 800 companies. And as I have those dialogues with some of the leaders, the reality, even with companies that have invested and are using voice of the customer, they're not deploying everything that we enable inside of a company, and it's additive and free to them. So the idea is, do I think that, you know, across the industry, we're engaging enough? The answer is obviously no, from my perspective. But I think there's reasons for that for different periods of time. I think one piece of the equation is that we've seen since the advent of our organization 15 years ago, almost 16 years ago now, is people want to hear from the customer more through technologies that they believe in and trust, like partners like First Insight, who have been able to deliver that. But at the same time, I think that there's a lot of competing priorities and noise in the marketplace and trying to figure out what to invest against and how to get the best return on those dollars. And I think that's creating a lot of uncertainty in people's minds, especially in an environment where people are struggling to make their financial numbers.
Right. What I think is really interesting is that no matter what anyone says, it all starts with the product, right? So if you don't get the product right, then you're going to be paying for it at the back end. And I think that's a struggle to some extent to get retailers really to get on board that train and say, you got to get it right from the outset, right? Otherwise, you're not, you know, you're just buying lousy financial performance, and you don't want to do that, especially now that the cost of doing business for a retailer has just gone up because of the necessity to be omnichannel for most people.
Well, and you're absolutely right, Mike. What's interesting is the consumer behaviors change dramatically. And investments around products are I mean, that is the essence of what retail does, right? It is creating an environment where customers come to buy select products from you that you curate in some way or create in some way, shape, or form. And what I say to our customers and share with, you know, the industry at large is, you're going to find out whether you're right or wrong at some point in the cycle. I think you'd want to do it sooner versus later.
Right. But you don't want to wait for that report card at the end of the year, right? You want to you want to be measuring performance and ROI real time. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And you know, if you're going to bring a product to market and there's risk associated with it, don't you want to know that on the front end? Like, it's almost a nonsensical, loaded statement that the use of information that could help you avoid risks or challenges,
right,
seems like the most prudent investment that you could make at this stage.
So you would think it was pretty simple, but you're dealing with people and you're dealing with change. And I think that is very challenging.
And so when I meet with merchants, I'm saying to them, you are fantastically skilled at your job and understanding it. Our job is to enhance that, give you
right.
a competitive advantage. And who doesn't want that?
Right.
The question is, do you think it's worth it? The challenge is, Michael, as I'm sure you saw in your role in leadership as a CEO of many companies, success has many fathers, they say, and failure is an orphan, is a quote. The answer is, we need to own our performance. And I think we're passing a precipice point in our industry where voice of the customer data enhancing capabilities of decision makers are now at a point where almost, I think, will be in the year or two, over 50% of the industry will use it if it were not already there today.
Right. So let's pivot onto news for First Insight, which is you've recently acquired Snap Retail. I'd love to hear more about it and what it means to your retail analytics platform.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I think Snap Retail represented a great opportunity for us in a number of ways. One, many of our customers have been using our technology to help buy-side decisions, right? Which product should we bring to market? How do we price those to enhance our financial outcome? And, you know, can we tilt the inventory a certain way? Well, if you think about it, that information, which we did pre-season, and then now consequently in season, has given us the capability to help make recommendations on how to sell that product to the segment that we actually insighted it on, right? So they told us what they wanted, and now you're bringing it to market. Can we help you convert it at a faster rate? Well, what Snap allowed us to do is to enhance our capability of the platform on the sell side. On the sell side, to make offers one-to-one to consumers via their database on the data that we insighted for the merchant organization, the planning organization, the pricing organization, and now bring that into the marketing organization and help basically inform the consumer that you were involved in this decision. Let us help you. We're now delivering on the promise.
That's exciting. And, you know, one of the things we want to do on our Retail RX digital hub is really inform our audience, you know, our clients and the Fairchild clients of what's happening in the analytics of business. And I think this sort of holistic solution, right, is what the future is, right? Instead of putting it up in pieces like that. Let's talk about omnichannel. And, you know, do you think omnichannel retailers look at in-store and online data as more distinct than they should be? Can the consumer data gathered be shared across any retail channel, or do the channels really gather distinct behavior? That's a lot of questions, but
it's a interesting topic. Certainly, in that if you think about the natural behavior of certain businesses and the consumers that support those businesses, some of the behaviors are very distinct, right? And then some businesses have a true 360 view of how the consumer behaves, and the consumer actually engages in a very 360 degree engagement model from channel perspective, speaking just simply from a channel perspective. So whether they buy socially, mobily, in store, online, you know, through their desktop, whatever the process is, even catalogs, right?
Right.
As you may think
They
about
still exist, right?
they do. They do. And a lot of businesses think in a very much of a silo perspective.
Right.
I think that certainly the more you can understand a consumer by the behavior that they exhibit in transacting with you, my observation over my tenure is that it's our responsibility as retailers to understand our customers very deeply and how they're behaving. If they want to spend more time in store, and that's the channel that they support, then as much as the business model may love to get it to be an e-commerce business, and we know some of these companies
Oh, yeah.
want to transition to that way, the answer is that's great, but she doesn't want to do that. So consequently, we have to support her in the way she wants to. If they are an omni-channel, then it's your responsibility to understand and blend that. What I would say is the one key point is I would say her behavior changes constantly and the rapidity of the change is increasing.
Right.
So the one thing that every retailer, brand, and manufacturer could really benefit from is a constant communication to understand what he or she is looking for, what they're looking for in your environment, and then how to support it.
And what I think is really interesting is that if you look at what happened during COVID, right, it was lockdown. People weren't shopping in stores. Well, guess what? And so you might have said, okay, well, it's all going to be about e-commerce because it's increasing so much. Meanwhile, when stores opened up again, all of a sudden, people are shopping in stores. And the answer is that they like to do everything, right?
You know, it's interesting. Whenever I speak to folks, they go, well, I understand the customer. We did a study and she's X. Okay, that's great for that period of time and that
Right.
snap. But if there's an environment which is constantly changing, which is true for every single retailer, and I can't tell you how many conversations where they go, well, we understand where she is right now, or he is, or they are at this particular moment. And the answer is okay. But, it's an election year. I'll give you one quick example. And the price of gasoline has gone up and then down. A host of environmental changes have occurred. How is your customer responding to that? And the answer is, do you really know? And how are you reacting to it? Well, if you're in a reactive mode, you're already behind the curve
Right.
because it's trying to understand and anticipate what's going to happen with them so that you can place the orders that you need to make to anticipate where they are headed,
Right.
not where they're going or have been,
Right.
right?
And I do think that that's what retailers tend to look in the rear view mirror too much. All right. And they're not looking ahead to say, well, what's the world going to be like in the next year?
There's a number of companies that are out there trying to anticipate and listen and move their organizations in the right directions. And I encourage every company to push the envelope, right, in the conversations that we're having.
I also think, with younger people getting into the industry, they're used to technology and they're used to things changing all the time. So they're
Right.
receptive to that. And so that's a positive. Okay, so let's talk about speed. Okay, well, in retail, we always say speed is everything. How can you capture voice of consumer data in real time and help retailers funnel it to the right channels for strategic planning?
Yeah. Listen, I go back to the old May Company days, and some of the listeners won't even
Know what May
recognize those
Company
companies,
was.
right? But the idea of making product in bulk, and that's where the value became in stack it high and watch it fly mentality of a push market to, where we are today. I would say here's the rapidity of change and the ability of technology to support it. If you go from that moment in time and take it as the early 90s to the advent of e-commerce and postponement strategies of inventory, holding some back essentially in a warehouse and then fulfilling based upon where it sells, to the advent of specialty and fast fashion retail, right, where we saw retailers and manufacturers and brands bring product in intervals of what we thought was unheard of 2 week to 4 week cycles. People were like, their minds were bent in how quickly we could, the manufacturer of product can be created, to now where we are today, companies that we're supporting at First Insight that are actually manufacturing the product in real time after it's bought, manufacturer to consumer direct. The model has shrunk to the shortest possible cycle. I wrote about this in 2006 and said, that's the end game is make it immediately after they buy it. Micro manufacturing on site, deliver near real time. And the reality is that's the essence of where this industry is headed and has been headed for some period of time. The beautiful thing about technology is that's exactly what it does. And so some of our customers, fortunately or unfortunately, are dealing with 6 to 9 month cycles still in their right. product development. And a week makes a lot of difference. And we're able to support cutting weeks, months, days out of it. We have documented right. case studies. Gartner's written about a 40% reduction in cycle times. How you do that is you make the right product that has high demand, right?
Right.
And I often say this, you said it earlier. You know, you make a great product, I think they'll find you at a dumpster fire. You don't need to have a great store. They'll literally find you wherever right. you are.
And you see that when you look at the selling results, right? Something's in the back of the store. You know, we didn't think it was important. And all of a sudden it sells out in a week. So it tells you a lot about consumers really getting it as far as that's concerned, if you get the right product. So let's talk a little bit about your interactive mobile app called My Insight. You know, how does that work?
So we have a customer advisory board, some of the largest retailers in the world. And we asked them, what do you want to do? And they said, well, you know, can you put the information in the palm of our hands and figure out a way to enable it in a way that is interesting and encouraging? And so what we did was we created this technology called My Insight. And thankfully, you know, it has been probably the fastest adopted technology of anything we've launched. Right. And what it's doing is it's allowing the merchants, designers, anybody essentially in retail to understand where they are in a very interesting, engaging way, swiping right or left, you know, how they feel about a product compared to the consumer base. And they can do it in real time, in the blink of an eye. And they can go into a line review and have a collaborative conversation. They can enable it socially through their group, or they can do it privately in their own environment, where they want to understand how they feel about a product in comparison to the group. And, you know, a number of analysts have said there's nothing like it in the world today. You know, our customers, I was with a customer in their building when we downloaded it to all the merchants, and, you know, it's at the App Store and they downloaded it. And first thing they found was there's also a competitive aspect with they enabled points. And so their organization wanted to incentivize people through points. And so, you know, you'd be a competitive group of people talking about how many points they have and sharing their results with one another in a way to make line reviews now more engaging as opposed to combative.
Right. So is the result of that people are saying, wow, I didn't realize how the consumer thought. Or I didn't realize what the designer thought. You know,
right. That's exactly right. And I think going into those environments where you're having a dialogue, you know, we have some companies who have some best practices where they write notes down. They have to read their notes when they get into the meeting, right? Because they don't want to influence each other and they want to share their thoughts freely and openly. And this allows them to have their own private, secure environment or a collaborative environment or grow towards a very, you know, interesting, engaged environment. But in the end, they're more informed. It's at the speed of technology, which is right now, it's available, right? All the information's available. And it's collaborative in a way that's enabling a great conversation to occur and problem solving, as opposed to, well, they don't know what they're talking about.
Right. Well, so, you know, and that's people. What can I say? We deal with that all the time. So let's talk a little bit about going further on that is how is gamifying the tool as a tool, a smart strategy for product planning? Does it make it more user-friendly, more fun? You know, Sourcing Journal described it as Tinder-like assortment planning.
Yeah. I appreciate their commentary related
right.
to that. Never been a user of Tinder, but yeah, I understand it's very engaging. And in fact, I think our tool is as well, from the feedback that we're hearing, that people enjoy engaging with it. You know, work has got to be certainly important. I mean, that's what we're trying to do when we're doing work, right? It's pretty serious business. We're trying to solve problems, but at the same time, it can be enjoyable. And, you know, retailers in general are a competitive group of people.
You think? Okay.
Yeah. Highly, right? As you know.
So we get our report card. We get our report card every day. Or I used to get it, you know, I used to get it every hour, right? And
right.
So, which is sometimes that's like a little overkill in that regard. But I do think that does differentiate retail from a lot of other businesses, which have a longer term perspective and don't look at it the same way that retailers do. So, you know, striking the right balance, of course, is always is good. But it does instill, I think, a sense of urgency in the business.
And I think gamifying that allows people to get the feedback in a positive way, encouraging the behavior that you want, and at the same time, giving them true, authentic information that they can find useful.
Right.
And I think, you know, fortunately, we've hit the mark on this one. I'm pretty excited about it, and I'm encouraged to see the adoption.
Well, okay, we got to wrap it up. But, you know, it's great to sort of prognosticate on two things. One is your future predictions for the analytics industry. And also, you know, your predictions as to what's going to happen in retail for 2024.
Well, two things. One thing that I heard a quote, and I can't remember who it was from, so I won't try to misquote them, but I'll paraphrase what the quote was. We overestimate what will happen in 2 years and underestimate what will happen in 10 years. And I believe that was Bill Gates who said that. And I think that's absolutely true when it comes to the amount of change related to technology in retail for generative AI and other things. I think we're going to overestimate what will happen in likely the next 2 years, and over the next 10 years, underestimate it pretty significantly. Why? Because it's been happening for some time, so it's been there. How it gets used to enable certain capabilities, I think, is going to be significant, but it's going to take a period of time to happen.
And also, I think, too, it's like, which applications are the ones that are going to really make a difference, right?
Yeah. To answer that question, the answer always is anything that can help you anticipate a likely outcome is going to benefit you. Just think about the world around us, right? I mean, we want technology that helps us with navigation, why anticipating turns. We want technology that helps us anticipate weather. I mean, why? Because ultimately, we want to know what's likely to happen so that we can prepare for it.
Right.
And that will help benefit us always in every case. And any company that has a technology that can support that, like First Insight and others, will benefit the most. To a customer, I mean, right? That is going to be the biggest impact. When I look at the industry itself, you know, it's always hard to prognosticate, but I will tell you, last year we said in the beginning, at the end of 2022 and the early 23, and I wrote about this, so you can rewind the tape and take a look at it. We said, you know, we don't see a recession happening.
Right.
And we didn't understand why people were saying that. And, you know, the S&P ended up, what, 24%, something like that. So, you know, the economy hit the mark on a number of cylinders. My point would be, that's not First Insight. That's the customer who basically informed us to say that isn't going to happen, right? They didn't see it happening. When we look towards 2024, I will tell you, now people are saying, obviously, it's going to be a great economy, because every historical data point leading up to a new national election has been strong, and coming off a good year actually is duplicative. So every economist I've listened to said, hey, listen, it's going to be a fairly good year on top of a good year. And we would agree. So, you know, I would say the companies that are going to be successful are the ones that have the advantage of looking into the windshield, so
right,
to speak, as opposed to the rear view mirror. And when we look into the windshield, we're encouraged by it. I would say 2024 looks like the first normal year post-COVID that I've seen
right.
in in 5 years. Now, the question is, can you execute on it, right? And does that mean that you're just going to be able to nail it? I don't think so. I think the thing that's changed is the consumer discernment has changed dramatically. And if you don't understand them, you're going to have a difficult year. And it's not going to be because the economy's bad.
And I think, you know, just to wrap it up, I think when we look at the numbers, they're averages, right? And so within those averages, there are people that are way outperforming those numbers.
That's right.
There's, you know, bifurcation of performance, and there are people that are really struggling. And, you know, people that have looked ahead, that have invested in technology and improving their, you know, their business model, continue to do really well. And those that don't, you know, we'll see what happens. But I do think that this will be a normalized year. Well, on that, and let's keep our fingers crossed, right? That it will be. And it's funny too, because I think that despite all the doom and gloom of, you know, consumer debt's at its highest, et cetera, you know, employment's been good, wages have grown, inflation is down. There's a lot of things to be thankful for as far as retailers are concerned. But you never know what's going to be around the corner, right? So so it's always like, I see it, it looks good, but it's always a qualified yes, right? Or cautious optimism is always good. You can't go wrong with that. Well, listen, Greg, I really want to thank you for spending this time with me. You know, this is one of the first in a series of Fireside Chats, our new co-branded digital hub called Retail RX. And certainly when it comes to RX, Greg has been one of the leaders in filling those prescriptions for success. So with that, I'm going to sign off, and thank you very much.